A national award for the burn, a poultry lab, a new master's program, and an entrepreneur. It's all on Tennessee Tech Today this week. Hello, everyone. I'm Buddy Pearson, the news director at Tennessee Tech, and thanks for tuning in to the award-winning Tennessee Tech Today show. Well, the Mark L. Burnett Student and Recreation Center is a jaw-dropping facility and has been open for less than a year. The 157,000-square-foot facility houses intramural sports, health promotions, varsity spirit squads, aerobic classes, a 25-yard swimming pool, cardiovascular equipment, cable machines, free weights, a fifth-of-a-mile track, and a whole lot more. It has also been recognized as one of the top 10 facilities in the nation. Suzanne Hensley, the interim director of the facility, tells us more. You are the acting director of what is known as the Burn. So how do you have to act to be the director of the Burn?
Well, Buddy, the same way I've acted probably for 29 years. I've been with Campus Rec now for 29 years. Worked with David Mullinax, our previous director, who recently retired. And I'm just trying to act a little more grown up than I normally did. So this has actually been a really big honor to get to do this in my last few months. And it's a beautiful facility, great staff, and student body seem to really be enjoying the facility.
It is a beautiful facility, and even though it's spring break and the students aren't on campus, you're still open, there's still people coming in, but from top to bottom, I mean, this place is unbelievable.
It is. There are so many more things in this facility that we didn't have in the other facility, and the things that we're able to do is so much more diverse than before. The new additions, particularly the climbing wall, that has been a major hit with our students here.
Yeah.
Our golf cube.
Yeah.
That has been a major hit with our kids. But I think just the fact that
it's a major hit with the staff too. I got to say, I enjoy it very much.
I think that's going to get bigger and bigger. I think there's still a lot of people that don't even know we have that in here yet. You know, honestly, to me, this building has been, since we've been in COVID protocol, it's kind of like being given a Lamborghini and told then to keep it under 30 miles an hour because we've not really been able to open this building up.
Right.
And I think when we do, it's just going to be phenomenal. Our numbers are huge right now, even with COVID. So I think there's a lot yet to happen with this facility.
And along with the facility, you recently earned an award because of the facility. Tell us a little bit about that.
We did. We entered the NURSA, National Intramural Sports Association. They give away every year X number of national facility awards given to the top facilities, recreation facilities in the nation. And, of course, we are a little biased. We thought we had the best in the nation.
Yeah.
And we applied for it. And, honestly, I never thought in a million years until I saw in my email, congratulations, you have been awarded. And we were with some really good schools. We were one of 10 schools in the nation.
Wow.
To get this Outstanding Facility of the Year award.
Wow, that's great. And, you know, to be recognized already as an outstanding facility, like you said before, a lot of people even been able to see it. You know, it makes you feel good to know that this thing was done right and everything that has happened with it has been a positive.
It absolutely has been a positive. Like I said, you could just come in and watch the students coming in, especially in the very beginning when we opened the doors and the kids were coming in for the very first time. Mm-hmm. You know, I could just sit in the lobby and watch their faces. That was a lot of fun because, you know, they just stop when they hit the door.
Yeah.
Because this is a massive building.
It is.
It is a massive building. So.
And a lot of people are going to have a chance to see just how massive this is because we're finally going to have like the official – what is it being called? The grand opening, the naming, the
I don't know that I've actually seen. I don't think I've actually seen the official title. If you ask me this question tomorrow, I may be able to answer it.
Yeah.
But it is a dedication ceremony.
Okay.
I think it will be like a grand opening of the facility, but also dedicating it to Mark Burnett.
Right.
And so we're in planning stages for that now, and I expect that to be a big event. And I know he's so excited about this.
And it would have happened last summer, but because of COVID-19, it just kept getting pushed back. David Mullinson retired beginning of the fall. And so now here we are, Mark Burnett, who was vice president here at Tennessee Tech, who retired. Now it's called The Burn after Mark Burnett. Finally get to dedicate it, and that's going to be on April the 9th.
That is April the 9th. It's my understanding it will be at 2 o'clock, but I feel sure there will be major announcement go out on this to clarify the time on that, but I do believe it will be about 2 o'clock.
And you expect, you know, folks to be able to come and see it for the first time or, you know, come back and see it again.
We want people to come out for this. We are going to have extra staff on hand so that we can do tours of the facility. I know there are going to be a lot of Mark's old buddies that will come back for this, and we will be taking them through the facility. Have all the toys laid out, so if they just feel the need to grab a basketball, or we'll have some golf clubs in the cube so that if they want to go in and hit a couple of times to see what it feels like, we'll open this up and do everything that we possibly can that day.
Great. Well, congratulations on being the acting director and also on the award. Anything else you want to add?
No, just want to encourage people that here in town to come out on that day and opportunity to actually see the building and let us show you what we have over here, what we're awfully proud of.
All right, Suzanne Hensley, the acting director of The Burn. Appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, buddy.
And we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk agriculture and human ecology. Stay with us.
You can't predict the future, but you can count on Tennessee Tech University always putting students first. Tech understands today's challenges and helps students by showing strength, compassion, patience, kindness, and common sense. We put students first on a safe, accessible campus close to home. That's what you can count on at Tennessee Tech. Find out more at tntech.edu/wingsup.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. Well, there's a lot going on in the College of Agriculture and Human Ecology, starting with the groundbreaking of a new poultry lab. With us to tell us more is Darren Smith, Dean of the College of Agriculture and Human Ecology. Some exciting news out of the College of Ag, and that is the groundbreaking for a new poultry lab. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's very exciting. We had a grant from TBR for about $2 million to put in a poultry research center. W&O out of Livingston was awarded the contract, and they are out, have broken ground, and are digging, and very exciting.
Now, how's this going to enhance the College of Agriculture?
Well, we're currently in the search for a poultry scientist specialist that would be, I don't want to say housed there, but provided with research opportunities and laboratory space out there. We place a lot of kids in the Tennessee and surrounding poultry industry that are employed there, and we're going to give them some hands-on real-life experience working in poultry houses, so it will benefit those students. We talk about poultry science, but really it's animal science. So all of our animal science students will benefit, even our pre-veterinary medicine children.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And now the ground has been broken. About how long do you think it'll take for this project to be completed?
I believe it's about 6 months.
Okay.
So I'm thinking in the beginning or midway through this coming fall semester, we should be up and running, done, signed off.
Yeah. So when you came to Tennessee Tech, did you see a need for a poultry research lab, and that kind of got it going? How long has this been in the process?
This has actually been in the process for about 4 years.
Oh, okay.
So I inherited it when I came, and we were able to, move it along, working with the faculty here and the planning analysis group over there, Jim Cobb and Bob Scarborough, and working with the designers, and we got a design completed and awarded it, and we're building it.
Well, tell us a little bit about the actual structure and kind of what that's going to entail.
Okay. It's going to have two research areas for that will house the poultry, if you will, like two wings, one on each side of a main building. And in the main building will be some offices, some restrooms, and laboratory space for the poultry scientist.
Oh, great. And now, I know this is just one of the things that's been going on in the College of Ag with the way the pandemic has affected campus and universities across the country. How has it affected Tennessee Tech's College of Agriculture?
Well, I mean, we're in the same boat as everybody. I actually taught a class in the fall, and in my career, and I'm old, teaching in a mask was a challenge.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a challenge for our students to sit there in a mask, and you know, you don't get the facial expressions. You can't tell really from the students, that subtle feedback. But you know, we have the greatest students here in agriculture and human ecology students, and they've just done exactly what they're supposed to do. They're gutting it through and doing a great job. I mean, you know, we're all in the same boat, but they're just hanging in tough.
We're about halfway through the spring semester. What are some of the other things that's going on in the College of Ag, and even maybe looking towards summer before we start looking at next fall?
Okay. Yeah, we have some exciting stuff happened this spring.
Mm-hmm.
We completed the construction, the first part, what I'm calling stage one, because I'm looking for more money. Stage one construction in the Ag Engineering Technology laboratory that was completed, and we are now using it to teach classes.
Great.
So we took over the old dairy barn and the hay storage area and completely remodeled it. We have air conditioned, heat, a bathroom.
Oh, wow.
Whole 9 yards and two, I think they're 16-foot doors, so you can pull combines in for the kids to work on and all that. So we're really excited about that. Our Ag Engineering Technology faculty are over there working hard to get it set up, and the students seem to be really enjoying it. We are looking for money to complete the rest of the dairy barn, the loafing shed, into a student learning center for our Ag Engineering Technology.
Okay.
The other thing we were associated with Ag Engineering Technology, we received a large donation from the Reese's, and we are purchasing a side-by-side vehicle that will have auto steer on it, and this is out of my area, so auto steer, but it's for geo mapping and grid soil sampling.
Oh, wow.
And so they can take it out, and it will drive under controls under satellites and stuff like that. So it's really cool. That's been ordered. We should have that up and running another couple weeks.
Okay. During the summer, a couple of summers ago, there was a Farm Bureau Leadership Conference. What's the status on that for this summer?
I'm guessing it's been canceled.
Okay.
I'm not sure. We have some events in, and I'm not sure what the university's policy is going to be on summer camps yet.
Sure.
At least last time I asked, but I'm imagining that we will not be hosting that, but you know, things change and maybe so, but we would have to know pretty soon.
Yeah. And then looking toward the fall, anything exciting on the calendar for the fall?
Well, we're doing a cluster hire for our animal science program because it's a growing program with our pre-veterinary medicine. So we're hiring three new faculty, the poultry scientists, and then two more animal scientists faculty. A cluster hire is a great thing in this able to do it, partly because we had retirements, but we're trying to support a growing program that's really taking off. And so we're looking forward to that. We'll be searching that this spring. On the human ecology side, just to throw them in too, we're looking for a new housing and design faculty member.
Okay.
That's being advertised now, and we're hoping in the new budget to get the community health and nutrition coordinator for the new master's program that just started, that will start this fall.
Oh.
And it's needed for, that's a new position for our accrediting body. So we're real excited about that new master's in community health and nutrition program over in human ecology. And the other plug I want to throw in there for human ecology is Child Life, the Concentration Child Life, went through the accreditation about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing a huge uptick in students. We're one of only five in the country that have that accreditation.
Oh, wow.
And I ran the numbers just because I was curious. 42% of incoming freshmen this fall are from out of state, which they're wow. coming. We've had people visit us from South Carolina, Wisconsin, Texas. They're coming from all over because we're one of five programs. So that accreditation for that program is absolutely fantastic and has been paying off as well.
Well, that is great. A lot of things going on in the College of Ag and Human Ecology. Dean Smith, anything else you want to add?
Oh, thank you very much, and come out and see the poultry barn. I'm hoping we have a big ribbon cutting.
All right, that sounds good. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And to talk more about the new master's program in community health and nutrition is Samantha Hudson. So, Smith, how long have you been at Tennessee Tech?
I've been at Tech in various roles for about 10 years now, all of them teaching, but just recently stepped into this new position.
Oh, great. And what brought you to Tennessee Tech?
Well, actually, I had an old instructor who reached out to me about teaching as an adjunct. I'd been working in the community as a registered dietitian, and I always knew that I wanted to teach. So I had reached out to her, and the opportunity just presented itself.
Yeah. Now tell us a bit about this new program that's going to be starting up in the fall.
So we are going to offer a Master of Science in Community Health and Nutrition. Mm-hmm. So with this program, there are two audiences that we're looking to serve. The first is anyone who's really interested in that rural health content. And the other is people who are interested in becoming registered dietitian. So with this program, they complete the requirements that are necessary to be able to sit for the registration exam.
Okay. And now what's your role in this?
So I'm the program director for this new program. So we're a pretty small department in human ecology. So we are looking to expand with this just a bit. But for right now, I am the program director, so responsible for accreditation, everything to do with the program, plus some of the teaching. So,
and when you look at the curriculum, how long would it take somebody to complete this program?
So we are a 22-month program. Mm-hmm. So it's five semesters, including the summer semester. So we would anticipate if someone were on that track to become a registered dietitian, that they would go full-time. Mm-hmm. So we're not offering a part-time option for that. But if someone were just interested in that rural health content, we would offer the opportunity for them to go part-time. So that could expand that 22-month time period.
Are there any other programs that you're looking to establish, or you know, is there anything kind of on the drawing board that's, you know, that you're looking long-term?
Well, the way that our program is set up, we do require that experiential learning. So for right now, all of those experiential learning sites are located in the Upper Cumberland area. But we would like to expand that to give people the opportunity to maybe not have to be in the Cookeville area to mm-hmm. complete the degree. The coursework itself is offered online, aside from the experiential learning practicum courses. So eventually, if we could have pockets of experiential learning across the country, then that would offer more opportunity for more people to enroll.
Okay. And do you have a lot of people enrolled yet?
So our application just became live yesterday.
Oh, great.
So we are really excited to be able to reach out to all the students who have shown interest in the program to be able to let them know that they can start on that application process.
And now, is there a website they can go to get the application?
Yes. So the application is available through the College of Graduate Studies. Mm-hmm. So if they go to that website, just click on master's degrees, and then we're listed. We're first on the list because we're College of Agriculture and Human Ecology.
Great. Anything else you want to add?
We're just really excited to offer this program. It's a pretty unique opportunity for students. You know, most of our students are from rural areas.
Right.
So to be able to offer content in community health and nutrition that's not just specific to registered dietitians, but, you know, could be appropriate for educators and nurses and really anyone who is interested in community health, mm-hmm. We think is a pretty unique opportunity.
All right. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
More Tennesseans are turning to the state's best public university, Tennessee Tech. Tech produces bold, fearless, confident graduates who get an outstanding return on investment, who graduate with the least amount of debt in the South, who earn higher early career salaries. Tennessee Tech, just like our state, is soaring to greater heights. Tech is Tennessee. To find out more, visit tntech.edu/techistn.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. Brandon Pierce, a Tennessee Tech student, is creating a whole new vision on how to think about entrepreneurship. Pierce recently won the Global Student Entrepreneurship Award, and he joins us now on Tennessee Tech Today. So, Brandon, what made you choose Tennessee Tech?
Yeah, so originally I'd moved to Nashville, lived in Murfreesboro, just kind of get a little bit away, kind of really just find out who I needed to be after some college difficulties. In MTSU, I entered a business competition, and then that kind of led into some overall stuff, you know, 11 Forbes 30 under 30 nominations. And I entered the Launch Tennessee Student Business Mentorship Program, got accepted into that in February. And throughout the panel, the panelists kept wondering why it was business entrepreneurship major. And so I kind of just broke down and said, look, you know, I've had some financial difficulties. I lost two scholarships. My dad's work shut down, lost that scholarship. And I went from full-time to part-time, only being able to forward two classes at a semester out of pocket. And so really they kind of looked at me and they said, you know, I believe that the major you're doing is going to be nice, but with your pathway for the renewable energy distribution and also the, you know, the STEM education pathway, I believe you would benefit from a university like Tennessee Tech. One of the ladies there that was in Launch Tennessee was really a big advocate. And I got to looking at Tennessee Tech, and the more I seen it, the more I realized, you know, I'm going to have the right students, I'm going to be connected into the right, professors. And MTSU was really nice for that, building that understanding of where I needed to go. But Tennessee Tech just really showed me somewhere to where it was similar to my hometown in the, you know, the rural area, you know, small town atmosphere. And it really looked at something as a university that would connect to the community.
So you come to Tennessee Tech, and then what?
Well, I got into some classes, got to being able to do more hands-on with sustainability at the Oakley Farm. During that semester, I applied into some different competitions. They were a little bit above the level of me being a startup company. Entered back in December for the Global Student Entrepreneurship Awards, got a message. Actually, they had reached out to LinkedIn, applied in January, got accepted into that. I was extremely nervous. I was going against some people that were, you know, one was from Duke, some other ones, and placed as a regional finalist as the youngest startup in that competition.
What is the Global Student Entrepreneurship Competition?
Yeah, so it's a branch out of the EOA Awards, and it's just an organization that really focuses on how do you manage being a student and also a business owner. And so they wanted to see the difficulties as an entrepreneur and how you're managing that while with the difficulties of college. The only thing for me was is, you know, difficulties of being a college student, difficulties of being a business owner, but working two jobs while doing that all together.
So what is your business?
It's called Pure Legacy. You can Google search it and just type in Pure Legacy Future Innovators. Right now, due to COVID and stuff, we've halted the renewable energy distribution partnerships that we've been working through to try and get grants for. But it's STEM education. So Tennessee is looking to be a top 25 state for STEM education. And there's a lot of difficulties for bridging the gap between universities and local schools. But also there's a lack of STEM educators in both schools and the community to provide that growth needed. And so I'm looking to really give back to Royal Appalachian schools that may be overlooked in different ways, but also providing college students an opportunity to, you know, help younger students have a meaningful and purpose job to where they can gain experience, you know, be involved to where education majors can get introductions into schools by doing STEM academic events, you know, and different stuff.
What can you do now that you're a regional finalist? How can you build on that?
After we completed that, I had a LinkedIn message reach out from the Top 100 Business magazine. They're looking at doing a brief mention of, you know, startups to watch out for on their digital version. It's really grew in to some other connections. I had a meeting back on, I think, the 18th with Tennessee STEM Innovation Network. They're interested in coming to our first STEM event to see how things go. Looking at potentially, I don't know, maybe a sponsorship or partnership. But really just that competition is going to branch into more competitions, you know, different credibility for getting into school systems. We've had a few schools reach out about potentially working in some STEM events. But we've really noticed a big growth from people looking into the nonprofit for STEM events. And an organization in my hometown that's in a government housing is wanting to actually partner with us to do weekly events. And so that's going to be the big growth going forward, is providing, you know, those students that that live in those areas of that background just something to do in the week, throughout the weekdays and after school, with the overall plan growing into having grants to fund STEM after school programs. So that way there's competitions, you know, there's all kinds of different avenues for opportunities.
Have you always wanted to start your own business?
Yeah, actually, I would say probably anywhere from the ages of 10 to 12, me and my little brother would go and mow yards. We would go and collect scrap metal off the, you know, from the mountains and stuff, and people would give it to us and we'd go sell it. And we would do all kinds of stuff like that just to make money. And it was really interesting. I always had that entrepreneurship spirit, but never knew what it was. Sure. And then with the difficulties in college and not being able to go into nursing school, I had to step back and think, what am I meant for? And so instead of doing something that was going to give me just a nice career, what was it to where I could give back from my ideas, my dreams, but also the difficulties? And that's when I really thought about what was it that I could have had as a kid that would have changed me in a whole different pathway without the difficulties being an adult.
So how did Tennessee Tech foster that entrepreneurship drive in you?
It really helped me connect with some professors like Dr. McQuail. She's really a big advocate for helping college students find new opportunities that may not just be, you know, out-of-the-box type thinking like this. Also connecting with, you know, the class for the Oakley Farm, it really gave me an inspiration of, like, how can that turn into a dual enrollment class for high school students to come and learn sustainability practices. Seeing different ways that there's all kinds of competitions that some universities don't think of, for like the Makerspace does here. I believe EcoWorks also. And then even the Biz Foundry, seeing a small entrepreneurship organization like that, it just really showed me what rural areas can be with working with universities.
So what's next for you?
Hopefully what's next is this first STEM event with that organization, Carter County Drug Prevention. We're going to be working through some partnerships with the Elizabethan Coffee Company to do some do an event there to where we can do some ticket sales. I'd love to get into the car show in my hometown, do something with some of the organizations to where parents can have a night out, kids can enjoy this. Definitely looking to get into Cookful with some different organizations like that, or even school events, but really just doing the same old, up till 3 a.m. trying to figure out how it works.
Is there any advice you would give to that young entrepreneur who's out there mowing yards and selling scrap metal?
Honestly, I would say talk to your parents, talk to family members, find the older kids or people, but really reach out to colleges. You know, if you have an idea for an invention, just because somebody says, oh, that's not possible, trust me, it is. My grandmother has drawings of something, two things, and without a long story, two drawings she still has. I drew it at 8 years old, and when I was 21, I watched somebody that was 22 be on TED Talk with that same idea I drew on paper. That was heartbreaking. So if you're a kid and you have dreams, you have an idea of a business, you have an idea of an invention, talk to whoever you can to find opportunities. Or if you're hearing this, Google search Pure Legacy. Our mission is to help younger children that have ideas have a way to have guidance and mentorship to make that more than just a dream, make it to where something that could be the next invention that's a hot topic. It could be a business to where you have other people supported just by having some people guide you to networks or guide you to individuals to guide you. But never think that your dream's impossible. If you dream it, you can do it.
Thank you, Brandon Pierce, and congratulations on your success. And that's going to wrap up Tennessee Tech Today for this week. Be sure to check out the T2 website at tntech.edu or check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next week's show, be bold, fearless, confident, and kind. Wings up, everybody.